Church. Thank you again for those who serve us in this way. Thank you all for praying for me this past week. I thought I would actually be better today than I am, but we'll see about getting through this message. If I don't, we'll call on Joe to do something, but we're going to give it a shot. But this was not a very enjoyable week for me, nor was it a very productive week, battling whatever it is I have that I'm battling. And so because of that, really wasn't able to give the time to look at the next section in our study of the book of Genesis and the life of Jacob, where we are now. And so as I pondered in my mind, well, Lord, what would you have for us this week with the little bit of time and energy and stamina that I have to give to it? And the first thing my mind did was went to our monthly memory verse, because, as you know, frequently we will stop whatever study we're doing and take a Sunday to look at our monthly memory verse. As you well know, I've already quoted for you this morning, our year verse comes from 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 18. It's an easy thing, a simple matter in the eyes of the Lord to respond to, deal with whatever it is that's touching our life. And then what we're doing in our monthly memory verses is taking a particular area of our life, a topic that we face, that we have to work with, and apply our year verse to that topic. And so for the month of January and February, from chapter 7 of the command, is my life at look be done with satirics, because then making you know the Lord. You were not the Lord, as once walk with moral. We can and so shop call it where the maker and a more conditional live there. Convict up reality. Love. Abel says, what I do is a more important barometer of what kind of person I really am on the inside than anything else. And so when you start talking about what we do, those moral issues, it can create turmoil and produce even a negative reaction. Pastors actually have gotten fired for speaking on this subject. So what I want to do this morning, if you find your Bibles, First Chronicles chapter 29 that we read earlier, what I want to do this morning is talk about the concept of giving willingly to the Lord, because if you give willingly to the Lord, most likely it flows out of a commitment you have with the Lord. That commitment you've made to the Lord that you have on a daily relationship, not just one-time commitment in the past, but an ongoing daily commitment you have with the Lord, then impacts and causes us to be willing to give to Him in all the ways He puts on our hearts and leads us to do that. And so it flows out of a principle of commitment. I remember years ago hearing the horrifying story of a missionary in India, and he was observing this Indian lady, and she held in her arms this very sickly, weak child, and beside her was a more strong and robust child. And he watched her as she walked up to the Ganges River and tossed the healthy child into the waters full of crocodiles. And he just couldn't believe the horrifying thing of what she had just done. And then as he watched, she's turning around, she's walking, still carrying that sickly child in her arms. Tears were coming down her face, and he just didn't understand. So he went up and asked her, how could you have done, what did you just do? And her defense was simply this: sir, we always offer our best to our gods. We always give our best to our gods. Now, that's the principle of commitment in a horrifying way. But it just prompts the question, is the reason why so many Christians give so meagerly to the Lord is because of a lack of commitment to Him in their lives? Don't turn to it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to get to it in 2 weeks. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is talking about the giving of the Macedonian Christians, which was quite astonishing, because the Macedonian Christians at this point in time, they were in great poverty. They had the need of someone to give to them. And yet Paul talks in that passage, 2 Corinthians 8, about them giving liberally, giving beyond their ability to give. And then he says in verse 3, they gave of their own accord, begging with us with much entreaty for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. Why would such people in such great need, who needed people to give to them, be begging Paul, let us give to the saints? Why? And he goes on to say two verses later, he says, it's because you first gave yourself to the Lord. It flowed out of a commitment they had made to the Lord first. And therefore, Paul didn't have to put any kind of guilt trip on them to give. He didn't have to try to do it by some emotional appeal. You've heard the statistic, haven't you? That 90% of giving is based on some emotional appeal that's been made. That's why you have the commercials that are made like that. Paul didn't have to make some kind of big emotional appeal. They willingly gave, gladly gave, liberally gave, because they had first committed themselves to the Lord. A willingness to give flows out of our commitment to God. So 1 Chronicles chapter 29, great chapter about the building of the temple of God, and the offerings the people gave towards it. And what I'd like to do is use this chapter just to talk about commitment and the willingness to give by lifting out of it some principles that I believe were in the hearts of the people that were giving, that's recorded here in this chapter. So here's the premise. If there is a commitment to God in our lives, then of our life, of our resources, then there will be a willingness to give to Him. And what I want to lift out of here is six reasons that I think we see represented in the life of these people. So if there is a commitment to God of your life, of your resources, then there will be a willingness to give to Him, number one, because you realize the work is done for the Lord, not for some man. I don't know about you, but I find when I have to give for man, usually my heart's not in it. But when I know I'm giving to the Lord and to His work, there's a great willingness to be able to give. Even if I only can give a little bit, there's a great willingness to give because I realize it's for the Lord and for His work. Notice in the last part of verse 1, David's talking about that the temple that they are giving to, the raised money to build, it's not for man, but it's for the Lord. And then he says in verse 9, then the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly, for they made their offerings to the Lord. And why I think that's so important is they're not giving to David, the man. They're not giving to David's pet project. They're giving to the Lord. And I'll be honest with you. I have concerns sometimes when I look at some of these whopping ministries that are out there with the celebrity-type pastor. And I fear sometimes that maybe some people, maybe many people, are giving not because they're giving to the Lord, but they're giving to a man. They're giving because of a man and because of his vision he's put before him, or his project, the next project he's put before him. I had a band tell me, a pastor tell me one time, he says, you need to always keep building projects before your people. That's the way to keep them, to keep giving. So that's the strategy he was suggesting be used. But here we're talking about they're giving not to David, not to his project, but to the Lord. And so I hope every Sunday when we pass the plate and you're putting your gift in that plate, that you're not giving because of this building to meet a budget, to pay my salary. I hope you're genuinely giving to the Lord because you realize this is the Lord's place, the Lord is at work here, and you're giving to Him and His work. Let me show you the negative side of this. You don't have to turn to it, just listen. But you see the negative side of this in another little minor prophet book called Haggai, chapter 1. The context is this. If you remember, the people of Israel have been taken off to the Babylonian captivity. The temple had been destroyed as a result. Now they have come back to the land, the promised land, and they were to come back and rebuild the temple. Problem was, it wasn't happening. What was happening was they were pouring their money on building themselves, as Haggai 1 says, luxurious houses for themselves, while the temple of God just laid in ruins. And so God comes in the first chapter of Haggai, and He condemns them for what they've done. He says, lack of commitment, lack of commitment. My temple, my house lays in ruins, and you are focusing on building yourself luxurious homes. And then He says this, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. He who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in light of all that, consider your ways. You know, a lot of Christians are having problems financially because the bag they're putting their money in is full of holes. It's been allowed or even caused by the Lord. And so God comes to Israel and he says, the temple of God is laying in waste, and here you are concentrating on your beautiful homes. Obviously, there's something wrong with your commitment to me and to my work. Now, you understand that it's difficult to give as God wants you to with a willing heart if the Lord and his work are not prominent in your heart, not prominent in your life. So we give willingly when we recognize the work is done for the Lord and for his work. Secondly, if there's a commitment, you will give willingly because you love the Lord and his work. Very similar, but a little bit different. Look down at verse 3, and I like the way it's translated in the King James, New King James. It reads this way. David says, moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, therefore I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared. But why did he do it? Because I have set my affection, my delight, on the Lord and his work, on his house. Because of that commitment David had to the Lord, he just gave willingly because from that commitment flowed this love for the Lord and his work. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is that true of us? Is that true of me? You know, when a missionary writes or when a missionary comes and speaks here and they're talking about some project that they need funding for that God wants to do or something that's already in progress and God is working in a mighty way. What's that do in your heart? What's the response of your heart to that? You can't support a full project, but is there, Lord, just would you allow me to give some more? Or would you provide some? I don't have it to give. Would you provide something else so that I can give to this? When you see someone come to faith in Christ, when you see a Christian growing in faith, when you see God blessing someone's life, God's at work in someone's life or someone's ministry, what's the response of your heart to that? You know, there should be a great joy and a willingness to give if you have it, if you don't have it, but still a willingness to give. There's just such a joy in seeing God's hand on something. You just want to be a part of that. Do you know someone like that? We used to have someone like that. It was Ted. I mean, Ted had just responded so much. He'd see God's hand in someone's life or ministry. And out come that billfold. I don't know if it was a $10 or a $20, whatever it was in there, he'd give it. There was just a joy and a willingness. I want to be a part of that because I love the Lord. I love what he's doing. He did that over and over and over again through the years as I watched him. Do you love the Lord and his work? I believe that's so important when we give to the Lord. And that shouldn't really surprise us because the same thing is true in any kind of relationship we're in, isn't it? If I love someone, if I'm committed to someone, there is a desire, there's a joy, there's a willingness to give to them. I've told you before, it's a good thing I'm not wealthy because I love giving to Denise. And I would go overboard, not trying to be materialistic, but I just love her. It gives me great joy to give to her. And I would just do it. Same thing should be true for the Lord, shouldn't it? As it is in a relationship like that. But when that love and commitment is not there, you may still give, but there's a lack of joy. And there can even be a begrudgingness in our spirit as we place that gift in the offering plate, maybe thinking, man, there are a couple of things I really wish I could use that money on. But I know I'm supposed to give, so I'm going to do it. So it's given, met the letter of the law, but it's given with a begrudging spirit, not in a cheerful heart that 2 Corinthians talks about that the Lord loves. So if that's, in that sense, if you relate to that, I encourage you, go back. Do some checking, some searching of your heart in terms of your love for the Lord and His work. Number three, if there's a commitment you will give willingly because you rejoice in the opportunity to say thank you to the Lord. Just three verses. We've already read one, verse 9. Then the people rejoiced because they offered so willingly, for they made their offerings to the Lord with a whole heart. Verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank you. We praise your glorious name as a result, as flowing out of this giving that they're doing. Verse 22. So they ate and drank that day before the Lord with great gladness as a result of their giving, flowing out of their giving. You know, so much of our giving is centered in the thinking that it's just something I do so the budget can be met. But in the Bible, so much of the giving, so many of the offerings that were given, were giving out of thankfulness for God's blessing, how God showed up in this situation, how God rescued them in this situation. And what you'll see many times is when God does something like that, the first response out of their hearts is, let me give something, let me give an offering to the Lord in recognition and thanksgiving for what He has done. I don't know if you really get excited when the offering plate's passed and you're placing that gift in the offering plate. Yet, if you study the Bible, you'll notice that one of the greatest acts of worship taught in the Bible is bringing one's offerings to the Lord. I don't say it anymore because we've changed the way we do the offering. But I used to say when we would invite the ushers down, I'd say, let's worship the Lord with our giving. It is to be part of worship. Part of worship. When we give, it ought to be an act of worship. And you know, some of us ought to be so excited about something the Lord has done or what the Lord is doing that we can hardly wait to give to Him in some way. Whether it's here or whether it's something else. But just as a thankfulness, overflowing of gratitude in our heart in terms of what He's done for us. And just to be able to come, I'm not even talking about a huge amount. You're saying, Lord, I just want to give this gift, even though I know you don't need the money. I just want to give this gift out of the thankfulness, the gratefulness in my heart for how you carried me through this, how you provided here, how you gave victory over sin here, how you responded and guided us here. Whatever the situation is, I just want to say thank you and give this gift to you because of whatever it is that He's done in your life. That almost sounds strange to us, doesn't it? Almost sounds fanatical. But it shouldn't. We see that in the Bible. Verse 9, the people did not give to the temple. They did not give to David. They did not get caught up with the projects. They got caught up with the living God whom they loved. Fourthly, if there's a commitment, you will give willingly because you recognize that what you give already belongs to Him. Let's read 14, 15, and 16 again. David says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners here. Excuse me. We are sojourners before you and tenants as all our fathers were. Our days on earth are like a shadow and there is no hope. O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand, and all is yours. You know, the psalmist says something very similar. The earth is the Lord's and what? All of its fullness. It belongs to Him. It's Him. You know, sometimes we think we've done so well and we've taken that tenth and given it to Him, and we forget all of it belongs to Him. Reminds me of a story I heard years ago. Father was, he's just wanting to teach, began teaching his little girl about the concept of tithing. And so he brought her into his study, and on his desk there he had put 10 piles of money. And so he said, honey, I don't remember her name. Look at here, here's 10 piles of money. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to 9. He said, these belong to me, but this tenth part belongs to the Lord. We give it to the Lord. And you know how children are. They're more perceptive than we are many times. The little girl looked at her daddy and says, "Daddy, are you going to keep all those 9 for yourself? All those 9 for yourself? Only give the Lord that little part? It all belongs to him, doesn't it?" You know, when children are little, they get their toys, and what's one of the first words they learn? Mine. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. And they grow up, and maybe we quit saying it, but a lot of times we still think that way. This is my money, I worked hard for it, I worked overtime for it. I get to spend it the way I want. Yeah, I'll do my obligation and give that little part to God, but this is my money. And we forget that hymn. Actually, we're going to sing this hymn in closing. We forget that hymn. The first verse says, "We give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee." Years ago, I came across a great definition for stewardship. It's not original with me, but it was defined this way. Stewardship is the management of my God-given resources for God's glory and others' good. A management of my God-given resources for God's glory and others' good. We give willingly because we recognize it all belongs to him to begin with. Fifthly, if there's a commitment, you will give willingly because you recognize the importance of being right with God. David says, the first part of verse 17, "Since I know, O God, that you try the heart and delight in uprightness, I, in the integrity of my heart, have willingly offered all these things." You know, when you're not right with God, it becomes very difficult to give willingly, doesn't it? Yet from our commitment to God, there is a willingness to give because we recognize it's something he commands us to do. And if we're committed to him, our hearts delight in pleasing him. And so therefore we give to him because we realize that pleases him. It pleases him when he sees us obeying him in this critical area in our lives. And so David says, because you delight in uprightness, because of my commitment to follow you, I desire to walk in uprightness before you. And I give willingly to you because of that. I want to be right with you, in a right relationship with you. So the question we ask ourselves, am I truly right with the Lord? Are there things in my life that aren't right with the Lord? Things I'm trying to hang on to that I don't want to release completely to the Lord. Because if that's true, it fouls things up, doesn't it? It fouls up our relationship, it fouls up our worship, and it fouls up our willingness to give to him. Lastly, number 6, if there's a commitment, you will give willingly because you want to return all the glory, all the blessing, all the honor to the Lord. David, you see that highlighted in verses 10, 11, 12, 13. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of the assembly. David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in heaven and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. You rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." Then verse 20, "Then David said to the assembly, Now bless the Lord your God. And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low, did homage to the Lord and to the king." You know, there in verse 20, you see the people doing two things in their worship. They bless the Lord. What does it mean to bless the Lord? One of the simplest ways to think about that is you're just ascribing worth to who God is. You're blessing him for who he is. You're blessing him for what he's done. You're praising him for his worthiness. And then the second thing it says, they bowed low and did homage to him. When you bow low and do homage, you're putting yourself in the place of submission. And so that's one of the ways we return the glory and honor to God. We speak of His worthiness. We bow in submission to Him. Our proud human hearts bow in submission to Him. And through what we do with our lives, how we live our lives, how we use our money, that's another way that I bless the Lord and I show submission and homage to Him. So one speaking of worth, the other speaking of submission to His will. I know some of you have heard this little saying, and maybe you've said it yourself. But it's been said that no matter what you give to the Lord, if it's given properly, faith, thanksgiving, so forth, no matter what you give to the Lord, what you have left over will what? Sustain you much better than if you had not given to the Lord. Heard that before? And many of you could testify to that, right? What you've given to the Lord, what you have left over, God will make sure that sustains you better than if you tried to keep it all for yourself and not given anything. And, you know, some of you may be thinking, yeah, but I'm in a difficult situation right now. My expenses are more than I bring in. Or maybe for some of our young people, you've started working. Maybe you're working part-time. You're working minimum wage. And you're saying, I've got some obligations I got to meet now. I'm growing up. Mom, dad's making me pay for my insurance in my car or whatever. I'm saving up for college. I can't afford to give. I've got these things I've got to give, and I make minimum wage. I need to take care of this first. And I would suggest to you, no, you got it backwards. You take care of the Lord first. You honor Him. You bless Him. These other reasons that we've talked about, because what's left over, God will make sure sustains you better, meets your needs better than if you had refused to give to Him because whatever reason. Just think about our memory verse for January and February. It speaks powerfully to this issue. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Test me now in this. And He says what? I'll open the windows of heaven. I'll pour out a blessing to you. I will rebuke the devourer. Tremendous promises. But you honor me first, the Lord said there in Malachi. We give in faith. Powerful passage, Malachi 3, 10, 11. So all that we've talked about this morning flows out of this principle of commitment. Is the Lord first in my life? Because if He's first in my life, there's a willingness to give because of these six reasons that we've talked about this morning. So when you boil it down to the bottom line, we come to this conclusion. Giving really is a matter of the heart, isn't it? And one's commitment and relationship to the Lord. Do you realize that money is of absolutely no value to God? except as it is an expression of our heart and our love and our commitment to Him and our faith that He will provide for our needs. In that way, it's very valuable. As an expression of our hearts. So this morning we talk about the principle of commitment. I leave you with the question for you to ponder, hopefully in your hearts, and that is, what does your giving to the Lord reveal about your commitment to Him? What does your giving to the Lord reveal about your personal commitment to Him? All right, let's pray. Fathers, we've had to change courses this week because of sickness. Just trusted that you led in the way you wanted us to think about, not just today, but as we take a little pause and think about this for 3 weeks. Lord, I know there are great needs here in this congregation. I know we have young people saving up for college. We have burdens that come on us, unexpected things break down, accidents happen, cost of living rises. Lord, we want to give our kids these opportunities to be involved in this, that, and the other. We have to buy new things. Father, I thank you that in the area of finances and in the area of your provision for us, that it is an easy thing, a simple matter in your eyes to take care of us. So, Father, help us to get our focus where it should be, on our commitment to you and your call to us to demonstrate our commitment and our faith in your provision by giving generously and giving willingly to you, to your work, however you lead us to do that. So, Lord, search our hearts. And I do pray for our young people who are just starting off in the work world and having money of their own versus getting an allowance maybe they used to get. I pray they would see the importance of what we've talked about today. And they would begin this practice of giving willingly to you because of their commitment to you being first in their lives. I pray that for all of us. So I thank you for your truth. And Lord, remind us of these things that we've thought through today and what they represent about our lives, about our commitment to you. Lord, thank you that you are a God that can rebuke the devourer. Thank you that you are a God that can make sure there's not holes in the bag that our money is being held in. Help us to honor you and to trust you in all areas of our life. May be reflected in the things we do. May be reflected in how we give to you. For I ask this in Jesus' name, amen.